This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Making My Fear Serve Me. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. In that passage, we see the story of a man who learned how to use his fear the way God intended. He learned how to make his fear be his servant instead of his master. Now we're going to break this passage down today, and as we do, we're going to see three things Jehoshaphat did to make fear his servant rather than his master. And we're going to analyze those things according to an acronym, P-A-S-S. P-A-S and S. And here's what the P-A is. They came, they said, Jehoshaphat, the enemy is coming. He is a great multitude. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He said, wait a minute. Look, can't you see I'm watching the game? Come back at halftime and then we'll talk about it. Is that what he did? No. Now, what did he do? He, P-A, paid attention to the threatening circumstances of his life. When the news came that there is a threat appearing on the horizon, Jehoshaphat paid attention and he reacted to the news with justified fear. The first thing that we need to do to make fear our servant and not our master is we need to pay attention to the threatening circumstances of our lives. You see, God gave us that fear reaction to motivate us to move on circumstances that are potentially threatening to our lives or the lives of those we love. And so, number one, we have to pay attention. I learned it the hard way. Some of you have heard this story before, but I learned it the hard way. I was driving, when I was living in Colorado, I was driving to back east here. And along the way, remember my story about being out on the ice and getting turned around, going 55 miles an hour on the ice and running off the road? Anybody remember that story? No. All right, thank you. Amen. Well, when that happened and I ran off the road, apparently it didn't seem like there was anything, any damage to the car. But apparently what happened was it loosened up a cap or a screw or something on the oil system of the car. And I got into the state of Virginia and my oil light came on. Now at that time, I was a little bit younger than I am now. A little bit younger and a whole lot more stupid. I saw that red light come on. I didn't know what it meant. All I saw was it said oil. Amen? And so I'm driving along there and the oil light is on and you know I'm saying, well, I don't know what it means. It's going to be all right. And suddenly I start hearing these clanking noises. Clank, 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 clank. This alerted me. Something is going on here. And just about the time that I was reaching for the ignition to turn the motor off because it had finally got my attention, it gave one final clank and stopped. Guess what? That was $1,200 for a new engine right there. Amen. And why? Because when the oil light came on to indicate there was a dangerous circumstance going on in my life, what did I do? I did not pay it any attention. I said, it's all going to work out fine. Amen. Amen. Guess what? God has not promised to pull you out of fires that you start yourself because you don't pay attention. Amen. Now, let me just say, God is gracious, isn't he? Amen. Let me tell you the rest of that story. Let me tell you how gracious God is. Praise God. When my car stopped, I'm on the interstate highway in Virginia, but you know where it stopped? Right in sight of a gas station. Hallelujah. I mean, you get out on the highway and you can be miles between anything, but it stopped right where I could walk and get help. Isn't God good? I praise God. He knew I was stupid. Amen. But he loved me anyway. But don't test him. Amen. When he starts giving you warning signs about things that are going on in your life, you need to pay attention. Now, one final thing on that. It is not only God that will draw your attention to threatening circumstances in your life. Guess who else wants you to be aware of threatening circumstances in your life? The devil. He wants you to get so focused on the threatening circumstance that you don't have time for anything else. He wants your fear to control you. Remember the children of Israel? God had them to send spies into the promised land. And they went in, and what did they find? Oh, it's a good land, but what? There are giants there. They can mop up the floor with us. It's a threatening circumstance. So what did 10 of them come back and say? We can't do it. We have paid attention to our circumstances, and we can't do it. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? Yeah, we've seen the circumstance. Amen. We know the circumstances are threatening, but guess what? We also know our God. Hallelujah. And we know that God has already told us that we have everything we need in him to be victorious over the threat. And so they said, well, we can do it. Praise God. You see, you got to evaluate your circumstances in the light of God's word. And that takes us to the second part of PASS. PA stands for what? Pay attention to the threatening circumstances of your life. Let's see what the S, the first S, stands for. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 once again. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and what did he do? Set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Jehoshaphat did what? He set himself. You need to start off by paying attention to the circumstances of your life, but then you need to set yourself. Praise God. What does the devil want to do to you? He wants you to look at your circumstances and get in a panic. You ever been driving down the road and a squirrel or a rabbit or something is trying to cross the road? And he sees your car coming, and what is he likely to do? He is just as likely to jump right in front of you as he is to jump back where he came from. Isn't that right? Because he's a rabbit brain. Guess what the devil wants us to be? Rabbit brains. He wants us to look at circumstances that come into our lives that are threatening to us and to panic, to react, to just jump here or jump there instead of taking purposeful action. Think about Jehoshaphat. He could have panicked when they told him about this multitude that was coming. Oh, we can't handle them. Oh, what are we going to do? I think we should just go ahead and surrender right now. Maybe they will let us off. The devil wants you to get rattled by your circumstances so that he can panic you into doing something stupid. I remember a story. It was in the newspaper. A mother duck had taken her ducklings to water. That's what ducks do. Amen. But it so happened that the water she found was in a backyard swimming pool. And the problem was the ducks got in there and they were swimming around and having a good time. And then it got time for them to get out and go home. But the size of the pool were too big for the little ducklings to get out. Mama could get out, no problem. But the little ducklings couldn't get out. And so the family saw that And they had compassion on the little ducklings. And so they went and got the swimming trunks on, went out into the pool to gather up the little ducklings and save their lives so they wouldn't drown in the swimming pool. And you know what happened? Every time this big thing came after a duck, what do you think it tried to do? Tried to run. When they finally caught them, and they would put them up on the side of the pool where mama is, what is a duck's instinct when it feels threatened? To get in water. So every time they catch one and take him out of the pool, guess what he'd do? As soon as they let him go, boom, right back into the pool. That's the way the devil wants us to be. So panicked by the circumstances that we see, that we do something stupid that will keep us from receiving the deliverance that God has for us. Think about it. What are some of the stupid things that the devil would have us do? You're saved now, but you just got laid off. And you got two children to feed, and you know that that old boyfriend of yours would like nothing better than to come on back and bring his paycheck with him. What are you going to do? The devil says you better take care of business or your children are going to starve. See, he wants to panic you into doing something stupid. Can I lighten it up a little bit? Now, this one's probably just as true, but I'll make it a little lighter. Men, your wife is feeling a little under the weather. And you know she's got all that housework to do. And you know that you should take some of the housework load off of her while she's not feeling good. Amen? That was only the women that said amen to that. Amen? Oh, this is going to be rough here. Amen. And tell me, how does the male mind work? I know that I should help her. But if I start doing this, she's going to expect me to do it all the time. So she is on her own. Now, men, I know we're very courageous, but probably there's no men among us who have courage enough to raise your hand and say, I've been there, not with your wife sitting by you. Amen? But what is that? It's fear. Stupid fear. Causing us to do something that's dumb, causing us to do something that's counterproductive. And it's stupid. It's a little thing, but guess what? We fall into that kind of mess every day. Pastor, I ask you, God has really done something great in your life, and I ask you, I would like you to give a testimony about that next Sunday. And what does the devil bring up to your mind? Fear? Oh, no! Get up in front of those people and try to talk? Oh, no! I can't do that. What's the devil done? He's got you into a panic, and your fear is controlling you. Anybody here ever heard, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Amen? Guess what? When God is by your side, and he's called you to do something to serve him, he'll give you everything you need. Amen? And suppose you do make a fool of yourself. Anybody here willing to be a fool for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And guess what? We're family. Isn't that right? It's like, you know, when I got married to Priscilla. When I was courting Priscilla, you know, I put up a good front. Amen. Amen. And then I got married to her. And she found out all my mess. Amen. She found out what I really like. Amen. You know, she found, can I tell this, will you mind? At that time, she found out that I sometimes wore underwear with holes in them. Amen? Amen? Oh, I'm digressing here, but did any of your mothers ever tell you, now you need to have on clean underwear because if you get into an accident, they take you to the hospital. Everybody... Guess what? Wives say that too. But we're family here, amen? We know the weaknesses and the faults of one another, and sometimes we can come and we can mess up. And guess what? We'll still love one another. Don't let the devil plant fear in your mind that will control you and keep you from serving God and ministering to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to set yourself. What does it mean to set yourself? You need to say that even when threatening circumstances come into my life, I am going to stand still until I see God's way of escape. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation. That word means no trial, no testing. No temptation or trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is the word of God telling us? You, yes, will see some threatening circumstances come into your life. They will make you feel the emotion of fear. But what do you know? God is faithful. He has already provided a way of escape that, number one, you may be able to bear it, and number two, to take you through it. Amen? You do not have to be afraid that there is no way out of your circumstance, because God has provided a way of escape. And what the devil wants you to do is be like that rabbit or that squirrel. Just jump here or jump there, instead of looking for God's way of escape out of your situation. When you get on an airplane, one of the first things they tell you is look around and find the nearest exit. Isn't that right? Why? Because if something happens to the plane and there's smoke throughout the plane and you can't see, you need to know where the way of escape is so that you can get out. And as Christians, instead of jumping the first time we see some threatening circumstance in our life, doing anything we can to get out from under the pressure, we need to stop, set ourselves, and say, what is God's way of escape out of this circumstance in my life? Because guess what? He already has provided one for you. That takes us to number three. The second S. PA stands for pay attention. The first S stands for set yourself. Let's look at the third S. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let me read verses 3 and 4 this time. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to do what? Seek the Lord. Hallelujah. The third S is seek the Lord. When you feel fear coming up in your life, when there are threatening, ominous circumstances happening in your life, it ought to drive you to seek the Lord. That's God's ultimate purpose for the emotion of fear. It will cause us to seek the face of God. Go over to Psalm chapter 56. Look at verse 3. Look at how David put it. David was a man who had many threatening circumstances in his life. Amen? But he came out victorious over all of them. And look at what brought him out victorious. Psalm chapter 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, what did he say? I will trust in you. Hallelujah. Amen? Now catch it. He didn't say, if I am ever afraid. What did he say? When I am afraid. What's my response going to be? To panic? To run around like a chicken with his head cut off? To jump into the first thing I can get into to try to get out from under the situation? To lie? To cheat a little bit? To do whatever I think I need to do? A man's got to do what he's got to do. No, what did he say? When I feel afraid, what will I do? I'm going to trust you. Go back to 2 Chronicles 20. Look at verse 12. Look at how Jehoshaphat and the king and the people of Judah reacted when they were threatened by their circumstances. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. This is how they prayed O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Any of you ever face circumstances in your life where you feel like you have no power to control those circumstances? Amen. That's where we started today, isn't it? As Christians, there will be times in our lives when there are threatening circumstances that have the potential to sink us, and we feel we have no power to control those circumstances. That's what Jehoshaphat was feeling. He said, Lord, Lord, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Ever been there? Amen. You got a circumstance in your life and you just don't know what to do. But here's the answer. Look at what else he says. But what? Our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Oh, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a godly king. And he can be a great example for us right here. Lord, this is too much for me. I don't know how to handle this. I have no idea what to do, Lord, but my eyes are on you. What does Isaiah tell us? He will keep you in what? Perfect peace if you will keep your mind what? Stayed on him. What are the limitations of that verse? What are the limitations? If they're getting ready to lay off at work, is that a limitation on that verse? If you go to the doctor and he gives you a bad report, is that a limitation on that verse? If they call you from school and they want you to come in about a conference about little Johnny, is that a limitation on that verse? No, what does this say? If you will keep your mind fixed on him, hallelujah, whatever the circumstance that you have to deal with, you can have the perfect peace of God. Oh, isn't God good? Isn't God good? See, he's provided for us everything that we need. Well, how is it that we seek God? Let's look back at what Jehoshaphat did. Look back at verses 3 and 4 again. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah, all Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. What did they do? Number one, they fasted and prayed. Amen. How do you seek God? The first place you seek him is on your knees. You need to start off with prayer. Isn't that right? You need to start off with prayer. And we don't have time to really go into that today, but I just want to draw your attention to something. Sometimes you need to go beyond prayer to fast. If you're really facing a difficult, threatening circumstance in your life that you don't know how to handle, you don't need a 15-second prayer. Amen? You need to come before the Lord. What does James tell us? The effectual what? Prayer. Fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You need to put some fervency into your praying. Because what? You need to let God know that you are serious about this thing. And see, that's what fasting does. Amen? Because let me tell you something. For me, fasting is serious business. Amen? I mean, God knows if I'm going to fast, Lord, this is serious. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to put aside everything else, get before God, say, God, I'm going to take my mind off of anything else in life. I just want to hear from you. I need your answer to my circumstance. That was the first thing that Jehoshaphat did. And then look at verse 15. We need to seek God, first of all, on our knees. Here's the second place we need to seek him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. This is a prophet that the Spirit of God inspired to speak to Judah. And he said, listen, listen. Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Listen, listen, thus says the Lord. Where do you seek God? You seek Him in His Word. You need to hear from God. Amen. Amen? You need to be listening to God. And oh yes, praise God, God will speak to you by His Spirit. But the number one place that you are going to hear God speak to you, He will speak to you by His Spirit. But most of the time, He will speak to you by His Spirit as you are in His Word, hearing His voice. I can't tell you the number of times that I've had an issue that I did not know what to do with. And I would get into the Word of God and begin to just seek God through His Word. Read the Word. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, you know, when we go through spiritual foundations, I tell people when you have your quiet time, you should have a plan, and you don't do this number every morning. Okay, what am I going to read today? Jesus wept. All right. Lord, thank you that you wept. Amen. And no, you don't do the random open the Bible thing. Amen. But let me tell you something. There have been times when I've been going through a difficult circumstance in life. I didn't know anything else, but God, you need to speak to me. And I would open up His Word and I'd start reading. And before I would finish the page, the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit and gave me the answer that I needed to have. Amen. You see, when you start listening for the Word of God, guess what? God wants to communicate with you even more than you want to communicate with Him. We need to seek God on our knees, number one. But number two, we need to seek Him in His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. Here's the bottom line on what we've talked about today. Christian, you will have fear in your life. God has not made us immune from fear. Oh yes, we have not been given a spirit of fear. We are not meant to be controlled by fear. But you are going to have to deal with fearful circumstances in your life. But when you do, hallelujah, you can pass it on to God. Amen? You can PA, number one, which is pay attention. And then you can S, which is set yourself, hallelujah. And then finally, which is really number one, amen, you can and you need to seek the Lord. And He has made the promise. When you seek His face, He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I have already made the way of escape to bring you through victoriously through that threatening circumstance in your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. When you learn how to make fear your servant and not your master, here's what life can be like for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 24 and 26. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity, so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.